The Way of the Wise Art, Module 1, Discovering the Tree, being given by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. Welcome again to the Way of the Wise Art. Now you have had a chance to work with the initial module for a few days. I hope you have managed to jettison some baggage, burn some old tapes, erase a few files, however you want to think of it. In this module, we shall explore a new energy, the energy of one. This archetypal energy is described in the opening verse. What force makes a tree grow? This force the Wisard too must know, for men walk like trees, their breath the breeze, and seeing men like these is what the Wisard sees. Man may be the dry tree, withered and sere, if fed with doubt, hate, and despair. The Wisard gives the living water to the thirsting roots. Only when fed with love, the tree of man gives forth its blessed fruits. There is a strange little story in the New Testament. It is found only in the Gospel of Mark, which is strange in itself, for almost all the accounts in this Gospel are found in some form or another in the other three Gospels. In this particular story, Jesus is asked to heal a blind man. The people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Jesus spat on the eyes of the blind man and laid his hands on him. Then he asked him, "Can you see anything?" Looking up, the man said, "I see men, but they look like walking trees." Jesus laid his hands again on the man's eyes. He looked intently and was restored and saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." From the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. It is significant that the story is only given in the Gospel of Mark, for this is the gospel that is analogous to the energy of growth and creation. The story is really about a change in consciousness that needs to occur within each of us. The man is healed of blindness, that is, he exists in a consciousness that cannot perceive the reality of the world with clarity. In order for this new vision to be created, Jesus first takes the man out of the village. A village represents a group consciousness, as anyone who has ever lived in a small community can attest. The new sight cannot be given within a group consciousness. It belongs to an individuality. I can imagine all the baggage that this man had within his village. Perhaps he owned property, had places that he frequented, people that he habitually associated with, or work and business links. But just as we did in the previous module, the man in the story had to discard all this baggage. Jesus then proceeds to heal the man. The use of saliva in the story also tells us that the change in consciousness is to do with the energies of growth and vitality. Jesus asks the man what he sees. "People looking like walking trees," is the surprising answer. This experience is actually the healing crisis, for the man in the story here has a moment of pure spiritual vision. This spiritual vision will never leave him, but we have to live in the physical world, so Jesus takes away the vision. The man now can see normally without the distractions of spiritual perception. But in order that he maintain the spiritual experience, Jesus directs him away from the group consciousness. Do not even enter the village. To see men walking like trees is to perceive the spiritual forces of growth and evolution that move through us. In the East, this is called the life force and goes by various names such as prana and chi. We will have more about this in Module 5. The tree is a very ancient symbol of the human condition. It is a direct expression of the number one, for a tree must grow straight up like the number. If we could perceive ourselves with spiritual vision for a moment, then, like the man in St. Mark's story, we would see that forces flowed within us from the earth to the heavens, and also from the heavens into the earth. In this sense, we are very like a tree which needs to take nourishment from the earth and also from the heavens. A tree, by its very nature, must turn this energy into some form of growth. This may be leaves, flowers, or fruits. We also take the energies given and produce the fruits of our life. We, however, are more than trees. Our picture is somewhat more complex. Turn your attention now to the central picture. This shows, of course, a tree. There are a number of other characters in this picture. In the foreground, two men stand. One seems to be trying to point the other towards the tree. The second person, clad in the red robe of emotions, seems to be interested in other subjects. In the meantime, a robber, suitably dressed in black, has placed a ladder against the tree and is stealing the precious fruit. This causes the flight of 12 birds from the tree. One remains, a blackbird, perhaps a raven. The picture comes from an old book on alchemy, Splendor Solis, The Glory of the Sun. The book celebrates the transformation of our energies into what the alchemist would describe as gold. The symbol for gold is the same as the symbol of the sun, and that is the central dot within the circle shown in the top right-hand corner of the image page. Meaning that we grow from human consciousness, the dot, into divine consciousness, the circle. The tree is our humanity. Like the tree, we have incarnated for a purpose. This purpose is to unite our earthly existence with our spiritual inheritance. In ancient times, people were buried with little gold tablets. Inscribed on these tablets were various verses, but almost all of them contained the phrase, "I am a child of earth and starry heaven." This is depicted in the image from the tarot displayed at the bottom right hand of the page. Here the figure of the magician takes power from the heavens above and transmits it to the earth below. The magician is really the soul. Our soul has the ability to take beauty, power, and energy from the spiritual worlds and produce beauty, power, and energy within the physical world. If this was all there was to life, there would be no struggle, no pain, no defeats, simply an endless play and creativity. There is a reason why most of us do not experience life in this way. In the previous module, I quoted Pythagoras. The universe is created out of number. The oral tradition passed down from teacher to student tells us we should understand Pythagoras was talking about the inner universe, our own consciousness. A philosopher even earlier than Pythagoras, Thales of Miletus, who lived about 600 years before Christ, was famous for another statement: all things are full of gods. All things are full of gods. Now, this is quite a contradiction to modern science, which likes to inform us the gods are nowhere to be found. Once again, we need to apply the statement of Thales to consciousness. A god is simply a directing force. Thales is telling us that our consciousness is full of directing forces. Most of the time, we are unaware of these forces. The picture from the Splendor Solus, however, aims to make us aware of some of these forces within consciousness. Let us begin with the two figures in the foreground of the picture. One, clad in a white robe, is gesturing towards the tree, perhaps with some degree of warning or alarm. There is a part of consciousness which guards our individuality and wants to protect it. This force within consciousness knows the importance of our incarnation and wants to make sure we achieve our purpose. We might call this the director because it wants to direct our attention towards our purpose in life. The second figure represents our normal thinking processes. This person wears a red robe, showing that normal mental processes are largely governed by our emotions. Psychologists are very familiar with this character. They have called it the pleasure-pain principle, meaning that we naturally seek pleasure and avoid pain. This force within consciousness is the most wonderful distractor. It has innumerable strategies at its disposal to direct our attention away from what is important to the soul. We might title this the misdirector. A simple strategy which I have encountered over and over again goes something like this: "Oh, I'm not really interested in spiritual things. It's much more important to be a good parent, worker, provider, contributor." Here the foreground figure is acting as one of the gods of the physical world. This god figure may direct us to fame, so the old god Apollo, romantic love, the goddess Venus, power, Zeus, skill, Hermes, or winning, Mars. Another name given to this figure is the ego. I have a friend who is always telling me about his struggles with the ego. Sometimes his ego freaks out. Other times it rises up, and often he fights with it. Of course, to focus attention on the ego is a wonderful misdirection strategy, for all the time we allow our attention to be focused back on the ego, we are utterly under the control of the misdirector. Spiritual people are not exempt from the activity of this figure. We can be so focused on spiritual and esoteric knowledge that we allow ourselves to be comprehensively directed away from the central drama. And while we allow ourselves to be directed towards these other aims, we miss the central problem of life, the thief upon the tree. The robber is stealing the fruit. This is a force or energy that steals from us. It is normally not seen by our conscious mind unless our conscious mind heeds the warning of the protector within. What is it that steals from our core self? If we understand that the figure of the misdirector wants to avoid pain at all costs, then we can understand something of this force within the psyche represented by the figure in black. It is pain. We might call this the pain of existence, for it is so potent a force that it attacks our inner life, our very existence as human beings. Sometimes this pain derives from an experience within the person's life. For example, we may experience a rejection from our parents, or cruelty from someone close, or an illness, or an intense physical or mental trauma. The pain produced by this trauma is so severe, the individual is unable to deal with it. All normal coping mechanisms are overloaded and fail. The one option left is to try and cover the pain over, rather like applying a band-aid to a gaping wound, and then try to forget its existence. It turns out that human beings are quite good at covering up and forgetting. Unfortunately, even though the conscious thinking part may forget, the figure we have called the director never forgets. It continues to point us back to the source of our pain. Like the misdirector, it also has many strategies at its disposal. One of these strategies is to make changes in the physical body. Both obesity and anorexia may well be the attempt of the director to get us to pay attention to pain we have not dealt with within our life. Certain psychological conditions and physical illnesses may also represent the director figure trying to point us back again to the reality of our life. The tree represents our being. A tree, as far as I know, doesn't have opinions. It doesn't embrace theories. It acknowledges no political or cultural allegiances. It makes no attempt to wage war upon other trees. It just is. The core of our being we will refer to simply as I am. The I am is revealed once the ego self, the misdirector, becomes quiet enough that we can pay attention to the core energies of life. The Western spiritual teacher, Reverend Mario Schoonmaker, was very fond of an exercise created by Sri Ramakrishna. And we shall come to this exercise at the end of this module and practice it throughout the next few days. What happens if, despite all its best efforts, the director is unable to gain the attention of our normal thinking consciousness? Of course, there are many possible outcomes, but what will definitely happen is that our normal consciousness will remain our normal consciousness. In other words, no change will occur. Thinking patterns and habits will become embedded and rigid. Eventually, the person loses the potential to be an individual and becomes a caricature of their innate potential and possibilities. We could compare such a person to the dry, withered tree in the bottom left of the image page. As the verse indicates, Man may be the dry tree, withered and sere, if fed with doubt, hate, and despair. The dry tree cannot grow. It cannot expand. It cannot put forth new shoots. It has become a caricature of the living tree. There is one final element of this important picture. All the birds but one have fled from the tree at the onslaught of the thief. Each of us contains the potential to develop the gifts and powers of divinity, but these gifts cannot exist in the same place as the robber. Only one bird remains. The raven has a double significance. In alchemy, it denotes a process of transformation. But first, the knowledge of the conscious mind must be dissolved. Certainty gives way to uncertainty. What we thought was wisdom is shown to be ignorance. The day of our normal thinking gives way to a dark night of the soul. The second significance of the raven lies in its association with the northern mysteries, where the god of wisdom, Odin, carried a raven on each shoulder. One was named Reflection, the other Memory. Hidden within the symbolism is one of the great insights of the Western tradition, and we shall return to this in later modules. It is easy to sometimes look at great spiritual figures and think that they are somehow different from the rest of the human race. But this is another misdirection. The Buddha was once approached by a visitor. "Are you a god?" the man asked. "No," replied the Buddha. "Are you a saint?" he was asked again. "No," said the Buddha. "What are you then?" "I am awake," was the answer. The way of the wise art will awaken us to the deep spiritual realities of our being. In this state of awareness, we will also perceive the forces that flow from the spiritual worlds and energize our psyche. It is a moment of enlightenment when we realize that this force is simply love. We are surrounded by the love of the creation and the beings that are part of the creation. They long for us to share in the power of love, for they know indeed that love conquers everything. In this awakening, we are able to understand the last lines of our verse. The wizard gives the living water to the thirsting roots. Only when fed with love, the tree of man gives forth its blessed fruits. May we come to the awakening, the clear vision of spirit, and the knowledge of the power of love. As the music returns, allow yourself to relax, sink into yourself, and then pose the following question. Who am I? An answer will probably come to mind. Philip, Catherine, Robert, whatever your name is. Address the answer and say, "Hello, Philip. Who am I?" Perhaps another answer will come. "I am a plumber, a parent, a psychologist." Reply again and repeat your question. "Hello, parent. Who am I?" No doubt you will repeat this process a number of times, but eventually there will be no answer. Embrace this emptiness for as long as it lasts. Then open your eyes and complete your journal for the day. I look forward to being with you again in Module 2.